brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Fact.
Absolute fact.
Absolute fact.
Absolutely. Yeah, but at 1 a.m. we're like 38.
Right.
Yeah,
totally outclassed.
Yeah. I mean, it's just 1 a.m. where it's...
We could even probably be good at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
No, we're definitely better.
No, we're definitely, yeah. 1 a.m., we can't.
Yep.
No. Well, you know, we can hope.
The other day, I woke up at 4 a.m. for no reason. I turned on our show. We were the best thing.
I'm sure.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm sure. Definitely the best thing in that house, that's for sure.
You're so evil, dude.
This is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
It's a pleasure being here. I was expecting some Kansas City barbecue for today, but I guess I missed out.
Well, we don't have barbecue in the basement. We'd all die of, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning. So, I mean, you know, what do you expect? It's damp and it's enclosed, and you don't want to mess with something like that. So, yeah. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. I agree with Brent. I thought that smokestack outside behind your house was what you were going to be serving us in the basement.
No, I'm just burning all the evidence.
Oh.
Somebody's got to do it. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning, Bob. I do love the cornfields, and then the mirror behind you looks like corn's going on forever. That was a pretty good effect.
That's a large screen TV.
Oh, probably right.
Mirror TV.
There's corn behind me. It was porn last time I checked. So I don't know. He's got a speech impediment. That's how he says it. So, and good old boy, Harmeet.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Next time you need to get rid of a body, don't call me again, please.
Sissy. You know, a best friend will help you move. A friend will help you move. Best friend will help you move a body.
Yes.
So, Brent, Maury, and myself.
Don't ask about the smokestack. Yeah. Do not ask about the smokestack.
Brent, Maury, and myself are the Bourbon Mafia. There is no mafia.
There is no mafia.
The Bourbon Mafia is a...
What mafia?
It's a non-profit organization with... bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 countries. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events.
What country did you guys add?
Australia.
Australia. Nice.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh,
you're not.
Boy, mate.
You weren't just satisfied with just, you know, contiguous United
Australia,
States.
Australia. We love you. Nice. Hey, I'm Professor Bruce. Over here is Professor Bruce. And over there is Professor Bruce. Yeah. Australia, baby. So if we ever get down there, not only am I going to do the Mad Max thing, but I got friends there now. So, and you can check them out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia. Our show is also sponsored in part by the For Order of Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, we used to have events.
Yeah.
We have an event coming up.
We're the Zoom tastings and stuff, but our in-person tastings are still quite on hold.
Pick up a Zoom kit.
So you can visit them at ftlws.com. And we're also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Animatic Machines, serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at www.finespirits.net or at YouPorn.
www.facebook.com/finespirits.
YouPorn.
YouPorn.
Yeah.
YouPorn.com. Look for the Fine Spirits logo channel. Yeah. I don't know. We don't have a porn channel, but although I did do some nice bottle shots and unboxing videos, dude. Unboxing videos.
Oh, that's what you call them now.
That's
look, what you and your wife do in the privacy of your home, your own business, buddy.
That's bourbon porn at its finest, right there.
Okay. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can drink. And today's show, we have a range of spirits. For today, we're going to be discussing spirits from Elijah Craig. We have the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have Woodinville Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have Woodinville Straight Bourbon Whiskey Port Finish. We have Hirsch Horizons. And from Jay Rieger, we have Rieger's Kansas City Whiskey, Rieger's Midwestern Dry Gin, and Rieger's Cafe Amaro. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
All right. Today I'm going to be channeling my inner
Midwesterner?
Buffer from the boxing world.
What?
No, don't say that. He'll sue you. he'll sue you.
One sips. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Two sips.
You gotta wait for the... You wanna wait? It's like it's the first time he's done it every time.
51st dates.
Been doing it for 4 years, every single month, and it's like it's the first time every time. Just like 51st dates, yeah.
Have you been here for 4 years? Nice.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Sounds like Clark Kent. Mr. Jameson, I want to go and do a story on these kids. Yeah.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
Sound like a ghost.
Now that's
there.
Don Pardo. Come on down.
Weighing in at five sips. Oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Again, I'm getting Don Pardo.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
Good old boy, Justin. Yes. Come on down. For you today, we have some Zebrick wall covering, a fine fur from Dicker and Dicker in Beverly Hills, and a Spiegel catalog gift certificate. Spiegel catalog, Chicago, Illinois, 60609. Some Rice Aroni, the San Francisco treat.
They are very close.
There you go. So we're going to have Brent tell us about our first whiskey. So take it away, Brent.
Thanks, Bob. Our first whiskey is going to be Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. It comes in at 94 proof. That's 47% ABV with about a $50 managed price tag on it for the...
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
It's brown. This is brown. I don't know what color brown yet, but we'll find out. So the newest addition to the Elijah Craig line, the process for the toasted barrel begins with fully matured Elijah Craig small batch, which is dumped and then re-entered at barrel proof into a second custom toasted new oak barrel designed in partnership with Independent Stave Company. Made with 18-month air-dried oak, the finishing barrel is first toasted and then flash charred using a moderate toast temperature and toast time. An extensive research and development process resulted in a final barrel toast profile bringing forward dark sugar flavors within the wood to create a balance of smokiness and sweetness after months of finishing. Only charred new American oak barrels are used throughout the process to maintain the standards of identity class and type designation for straight bourbon whiskey. So the color of this is a nice dark copper penny. It's a nice burnished color. It's beautiful. It's one of the darker ones that we have today. On the nose, very typical of the bourbon, of your bourbon nose, where you get that vanilla, the caramel, just a hint of smoke to it when you get that after sat for a little while. On the palate, big pepper notes. You get this milk chocolate that just really comes through and kind of like just coats your mouth with it. And the finish. Oh, and it's got spice. It's got this turns almost into a dark chocolate as it finishes off. This is just beautiful. This is something this is going to be something that they've really improved upon, I think, yeah. as far as their regular.
Well, they were kind enough to send in the press kit a small bottle of the standard Elijah Craig so that we could actually compare the two. And it's, you know, it's Elijah Craig, 94 proof Elijah Craig. We've all had it a million times. You know, a great bourbon for the money. I've consume more of it than I care to admit.
It's one of my house standards.
I love that stuff. Exactly. It's a great whiskey for, you know, for the price. You can't beat it. But when unfortunately, you know, they gave us the two bottles, and when you compare the two, the regular Elijah Craig is just, I mean, this toasted is just so much more of everything. It's even the color. It's right. About five shades darker. It's just, I mean,
there's a $20 price tag difference in the two of them, and it is worth every penny.
Every
of that.
Dime. Every penny.
It's,
yeah, the milk chocolate, it's almost like, I mean, that on the back palate, it's almost like drinking, you know, like a Yoo-Hoo. I mean, it's just, it's just chocolatey, and that toast comes through so well. They've done an amazing job on this one. What'd you
I
think?
I literally have not had a Yoo-Hoo in 30 years. What are you talking about, dude?
You haven't
drink
had a
Yoo-Hoo all the time?
Yoo-Hoo.
Damn.
Yeah. It's a chocolate milk drink that contains no dairy. Think about that. Wrap your head around that one. That's like having Jell-O without gelatin. I mean, it's like...
it tastes like milk. They do a good job.
I don't know what it's made of, but, I don't know. You see Star Wars when, you know, Luke was over there milking that weird creature. I don't know. What do you think, Maury?
I agree with everything you guys have said, amazingly enough. It's beautifully done. It's good old Elijah Craig amped up. Everything is just amped up. Again, I think it's well priced. I think the regular Elijah Craig is actually bargain priced. It's a little bit below
it should be.
It always has been.
Right. So although it seems like a big differential, almost a 70-80% markup, this is priced where it belongs. And I think it's beautiful. Really, really wonderful.
What do you think, Jason?
I think it's really well made, compares favorably to bottles that I've paid hundreds of dollars for, and I've never seen a better color. It reflects the light like a diamond. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, in the kit, they actually sent us pieces of staves, you know, one with just toast, one with the regular number 3 char, and one with the toasting and the 1 char, so you could see sort of the difference between the different barrel woods. But I think they've come onto a winner with this one.
I hold them up to the microphone, can you see them?
Here, hold on.
Yeah.
No,
you can go online and see examples of toasted barrels versus charred barrels.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a red line that goes deep into the barrel. It's a few millimeters, almost a centimeter down. That's very different from the surface char.
Well, we're going to be rating the Elijah Craig Toasted 4 sips.
That's classified.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We just gave that 4 sips. Stunning, really, really great new release from Heaven Hill. So we're going to go on to our next one. Hey.
Do you mind telling me what this is all about, mister?
Why don't you tell us about our next one?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey is from the Woodinville Whiskey Company. The Woodinville Whiskey Company was founded in the state of Washington in 2010 by Orland Sorensen and Brett Carlisle. With the help and guidance of the legendary Dave Pickerel, they set out with a goal to make the best craft whiskey possible.
I miss Dave.
All of their corn and rye is cultivated exclusively for them on the Omlin family farm in Quincy, Washington. The distillery has a 1,320-gallon handmade pot still with a 16-plate bubble cap rectification column that allows them to produce 7 barrels of whiskey a day. Their barrels come from Independence Dave in Lebanon, Missouri, with the oak for all of their barrels is seasoned for 18 months in the open air to reduce wood tannins. Barrels are first given a heavy toast before charring. The barrels filled with the new make spirit are then trucked over to Cascade Mountains to Woodinville's barrel houses in Quincy, Washington, where the hot summers and cold winters promote the extraction of the natural flavors from the oak. The 2017 Woodinville was acquired by Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, or LVMH, the same parent company of the whiskey icons such as Glenmorangie, Ardbeg. So let's begin tasting our first whiskey from Woodinville Whiskey. The very first sample we have is the Woodinville Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 90 proof or 45% ABV. It is non-age stated, although the company has confirmed it is 5 years old. The mash bill is 72% corn, 22% rye, 6% malted barley, and has an MSRP of approximately $40. This is a nice whiskey. It's got a beautiful coppery color. The nose is definitely fruity, definitely corn, oak, some caramel, brown sugar, and a little hint of banana and nuts. On the palate, it has a nice viscosity. It's mouth coating. You get caramel, oak, toasted oak, vanilla. It's a little bit of tropical fruit, spice, and nuts. It's, for me, it's a little bit on the young side, but I think with air, it's really some of that young, corny note has blown off a little bit. And as I revisit it, I find that it's a lot more pleasant.
That's a fact. When after it's set, you know, I first got a short finish to this. And, you know, and then after you come back, you really get some of the layers of flavor that come out in it and stuff. And, you know, when Dave Pickerel, when he puts his name on something, when he works with something, you know you got something special going on. And I think that, you know, this is 5 year that they have right here. And it's layers, the complexity that it has in 5 years is kind of impressive.
Yeah.
It does taste a little young still, and I can't wait for this. I mean, I think it's 7 years. I think this is going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They have, you know, older whiskeys, but we didn't get them in the state of Florida. They weren't making enough to do.
Yeah, I mean, this is really good. I mean, this products. Is, you know, the layers that have come out on it, you know, but the longer it sat, the longer the finish was, you know.
Well, the take home was, though, it really changed in the glass. I really was a little almost put off by the first sip right out of the brand new bottle, and it's evolved nicely in the glass.
Very much
definitely
so.
Definitely improved.
Oh, very much so.
What do you think, Jason?
I definitely agree that the flavors started out closed and brightened up with air. And I got notes on this that reminded me of a Speyside Scotch. So it's really different than other bourbons that I've had. And I really enjoyed it. What'd you think, Harm?
I think you're right on there. I think that what Maury mentioned, the banana, there's a little tropical note as well. It has got that, it's got more of that scotchy note to it. Maybe because of the type of oak. When I bought this years ago, when it first came available, and actually about a year ago in Florida, they were telling us that a lot of the oak for these barrels was actually Cursus Garryana rather than Cursus Alba. I don't know if they're still doing that since they're buying from Lebanon, Missouri now, Independence Dave. But maybe they are using some wood Washington oak, because there's a definite difference to this than the stuff I've had from Kentucky. It's different, and I don't think it's just because it's young. 5 years is not super young.
No. Yeah.
Well,
that was just an impression that it initially, right out of the bottle, tasted a little young, but you know, it's got plenty of time on it.
Well, that's the good thing about the show is we spend a good hour going over these before we even turn the microphones on.
Yeah.
You know, because most whiskeys benefit from a little bit of air.
I wasn't disappointed when I first tasted when it came out of the bottle, because I've tasted this before and I know what it's like. I think it's actually quite well made. I think that in 2016 they won Independent Distillery of the Year or Craft Distillery of the Year, something like that. These guys do good job, and I have everything they make. I have the rye, I have their port finished. I'm very impressed.
Well, as Dave traveled around and helped these distilleries, he was very much into local sourcing of the grains.
Yeah,
and he really wanted to work with that on all these distilleries for wherever they are.
Right.
And it shows.
So like this is local grain. And like I said, at first, I think they were also using local oak, and whether this
they,
has
they,
got that
they might sure. still be using some. It doesn't, you know, it's not like they're making barrels in the backyard out of trees. You know, I mean, they're getting them from somebody.
Right.
I didn't see anything about which oak they use. So, but.
Well, I'm going on press information from their marketing people from a year ago. But who knows what's going on now?
Well, all their corn and rye is local, so I mean that's 94% of the product.
Well
so
it's very well done.
Yeah, right. I mean it's a damn nice whiskey. It's really well made.
For $40, it's a steal.
For that price, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
So,
What are we giving her, sir?
Toasted oak. We're going to be rating the Woodinville straight bourbon whiskey. 3 sips.
Interesting.
Under protest, I would go hard. But whatever, man. Whatever.
Well,
this isn't a democracy, I know.
As long as you realize that, then just, you know, shut up and toe the line like I tell you. Actually, we're going to move on to our next whiskey, which is from Woodinville. It's the Woodinville straight bourbon whiskey port finish. This is 90 proof, 45% ABV. This is a no age statement, but basically it's 5-year bourbon that spends 6 months in ruby port barrels for a little further finishing. I mean, it's got a
nice red glint to the copper.
Yeah, it's definitely got a nice color to it. It's definitely picked up a little bit of the ruby note to the color. I'm assuming they're starting with the same whiskey that we just had and doing the finishing with that. So it's definitely improved on the color.
Hmm. It's different color. I don't know if it's an improvement.
Hmm.
It's subjective.
It's definitely got more mahogany and
It's definitely really reading more toward the dark brownish burgundy sort of end of it. But, you know, lovely. It's got a great nose on it. On the palate, I'm getting some cherry and some plum. Yeah, you're picking up that the notes in the ruby port, a little bit of berries, and I'm getting a little bit of milk chocolate.
Yeah, definitely get that chocolate in there along with it.
It's got a nice mouthfeel to it. I mean, it's very coating, just runs down the sides of the palate and just coats the whole mouth. What do you think, Brent?
I love this because a lot of times you have, when something is finished in another cask, the cask can overpower something. Yeah. And this is
and
not
that's been the hard
done.
Thing.
That's the hard thing to get that balance of where do I stop and how do I keep on going? And sometimes they keep on going and they lose it. And they didn't do that in this case. This is just beautiful.
No,
they
enhanced it. They didn't.
Oh yeah, they have made it better. Yeah. They've made the original one better by putting it in the port cask, and they've brought out some of the other flavors to it and stuff. You know, and especially that chocolate and the cherry, the vanilla.
Yeah, the chocolate really comes out a lot more.
Yeah, it comes out on this one. It's beautiful. I enjoy this one a whole lot more than the first one, and I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
You know, so it improved. Like I said, it improved it, and that's what you want it to do when
Again,
you do something
like
that.
Again, we've done this analogy 100 times. It's you're filling the holes in a Swiss cheese. You know, you're not trying to cover it up. You're trying to basically fill the holes and bring the whole level up. And so many here in the States as well as overseas, when they do cast finishes, I've had plenty of scotches that it tastes like a glass of sherry with a couple of drops of scotch in it. I've had plenty that were port finished. It tasted like port with just a little bit of whiskey mixed in it. And it's a hard thing to do to know when to stop, when to pull back. So yeah, they've taken a pretty dang good whiskey and just elevated it. There's nothing wrong with the last one. It's a significant improvement.
Yeah,
I
don't think they need to go any longer on the age other one.
Yeah,
they have the right balance. Right. For the
any
other
more,
one, I think
then
another,
you'll probably start getting more of the sweetness in it and a little bit more of the winey character to it. And that's like what you said when we tasted the first time. It's not sweet.
Right.
Which a lot of times with port, especially with like a ruby port.
I object. Every bourbon to me is sweet.
No.
You guys have ruined your palates. I prefer scotch.
Over sweet.
Mm. Well, I'm going to be agreeable and contrary at the same time. I thought
frigging unusual.
When we first opened this was to me actually the worst of the two. And I really found it a little bit off-putting in the first couple sips right out of the fresh bottle, and this has made a much more dramatic improvement even than the first whiskey. Elevated.
Good for you.
The first one elevated, I thought, by perhaps a point, and this one is really like at least a 2-point jump. I really found it to be much more enjoyable the second time around, an hour later, than it was right out of the bottle. So I think the take-home message for this one is be patient. If you're trying it for the first time at a tasting, definitely give it time. If you're buying the bottle, definitely open it, let it air, and really open up, and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
You can't just open and let it. You got to pour it in a glass.
Pour it in a glass, yeah.
Pour it in a glass. Glass. Open it, pour it in your glass, and let it, let it air in your glass.
What do you think, Jason?
Well, I agree with everything Maury's said so far. And
whoa.
I got
I'm Krusty the Clown, and I don't like you.
And I've gotten a really cool, like, clove cigarette note out of it that just brings back great memories.
What?
Yeah.
It's cloves. He had to add the cigarette because, you know, he was one of those loser kids smoked cloves and wore eyeshadow.
Yeah, goth, you know, wearing the combat boots and a big black raincoat. Yeah.
What you think, Arm?
I think I need to move away from your seat. I think the whiskey is well made and well balanced. There's absolutely nothing wrong
with it. You wouldn't be the first, and you won't be the last.
I'm a fan of everything these guys make, everything I've had from them.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, every time I've ever had it, I was always pleasantly surprised. I mean, I, you know, the first time I had it, you know, it's a new one, you try it, and it's always exceeded what I thought it was going to be. So, I mean, they're...
I'm giddy as a schoolgirl to have this today.
Yeah, they're turning out some really good stuff at Woodinville. So, we're going to be giving the Woodinville Straight Bourbon Port Finish 4 sips. Well done, guys. So, let's move on, and let's... go to our next whiskey. We're going to have Justin tell us all about that one.
So now we're going to talk about Hirsch Horizons. It's 92 proof and 46% alcohol by volume, and it goes for $40. The new expression of the Hirsch line from Hotling & Company combines two straight bourbons distilled in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Each bottle of the Horizon provides the exact batch specifications on the rear label. For the bourbon enthusiast who seeks that level of detail. The inaugural batch, AHH0320, is made up of two components. 94% of the blend is distilled from a traditional mash bill, 75% corn, 21% rye, and 4% malted barley, aged 5 years and 4 months. The remaining 6% is distilled from a high rye mash aged 6 years and 2 months for added complexity. The packaging was designed by the award-winning company Stranger and Stranger.
Love them. Love them.
These are the folks that came up with the Compass Box bottles.
All the really cool stuff Compass Box does, that's all them. So
absolutely.
20 years of Compass Box with Stranger and Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
So the flask-shaped bottle features a wooden top cork stopper with compass marks, while the label features a color scheme that evokes nautical maps and other visual references to travel and exploration. The base of this bottle hides a message for the curious, no stone left unturned.
Yeah, you know when you find that, right? When you're passed out and the bottle's laying sideways.
Yeah, it's laying next to you, yeah.
Right, and then you see that it says, again, no stone left unturned.
Stranger and Stranger, you're going to find stuff like that. I mean, remember, they're the ones who put the little bell on the bottom of the bottle.
Yeah.
So what did you think about it?
I thought it was a great liquor to get lost in, and
that's why they have the maps.
To get back to it. You have a map to get back.
I got notes of sweet oatmeal and vanilla on the palate. I got cinnamon and oak really well balanced together. It was a long finish that was slightly sweet. Again, this is another one that air has really helped a lot. What did you think, Harm?
Well, you said the word oatmeal. I was like writing that noun and putting your name next to it and giving you check marks, dude.
Yeah.
That's a
sweet oatmeal and brown sugar.
Yeah. I didn't get the oatmeal at first. At first, I got cornbread. And I was like, there's no butter. It's just corny. But now, as it's opened up, you're absolutely right. This is oatmeal and cinnamon. And there's vanilla there, and it's so beautiful. It's lighter. It's on the lighter style from what I normally drink. Again, I prefer scotch, so this is on the sweeter side for me. But this is really well made. I really enjoyed it.
It's what's for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. It's your breakfast whiskey, kids.
Yeah. Well, you were finished.
Well, as much as I hate to admit it, I agree with what both of you have said.
Don't admit it. That's all I can tell you.
The oatmeal, the brown sugar, cinnamon, I mean, that's my go-to in
and
the morning.
There's a little bit of raisin on the finish, man. This is breakfast. Mm-hmm.
I still, although it's definitely improved with air, the nose is improved, but it's still, I find the nose a little bit off for me. I can't put my finger on what I'm getting on the nose, but I find it just a little... unpleasant.
I think Justin was right. It's just, you just don't like oatmeal.
Yeah, you're just in a bad mood.
Do you like oatmeal more?
Everything is off-putting him today.
Brown sugar oatmeal is perfect, and
a little bit of raisin there. It's quite good.
Yeah, it's nice on the palate. It's nice on the palate. It's got a medium finish. It's a little lighter style, as Harmeet said. It's a beautifully made whiskey. I just, like I said, I don't know, something on the nose today. Brent?
Yeah, it's got that little bit of that little tang on the finish that when you got it, it's just like something's not quite right. But
it's not the tang. I think it's just the finish is short.
The finish is short.
The finish is short.
Definitely short.
Oatmeal. I mean, you could pour this in your oatmeal, I think, and you can.
That'd be so good.
Just like the people that pour beer in their cereal.
The people that pour the beer in their cereal? You mean Brent?
I pour beer.
I pour bourbon in my cereal. I don't, but
this is Brent.
For I am a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Bloody Mary, full of vodka, blessed are you among cocktails. Pray for me now at the hour of my death, which I hope is soon. Amen.
That's Brent every Sunday morning.
Every Sunday.
He is nowhere near as cool as Archer.
No.
But this is it's very interesting to say the least. It's nice, and I wish it. I know that the price that it is, it's like $40 retail price. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I don't know what you're expecting for $40, but you are getting what you're paying for at $40.
You're not going to get much. You're not getting much more for $40.
No, you're not. Sure, not. That's what I'm trying to say.
And if you drive to Vermont, you get 15 cents back when you.
There you go. See, I'm going to drink that and drive to Vermont.
What's it say behind the label? There's a little story going on there. No, behind here.
Yeah, look through it.
The gloves.
Yeah. Again, Stranger and Stranger. Their packaging is always top notch. So
it'll be a mystery.
Yeah, it's a porridge oatmeal bomb. It's like oatmeal with brown sugar and raisins and a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of oak on it.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Mm. Mm.
Do we have keeping time for the rest of the show? Well, we got stuff.
That's really, really nice. It's a very cool package. Again, don't tip the bottle upside down until you put the cork in.
It's very modern.
It tells you on the back of the label, it says, Hirsch continues to blaze trails for the adventurous.
Yeah, very untraditional.
We're rating Hirsch Horizons. Three sips.
Interesting.
Very modern packing.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished discussing the new release from Hirsch, the Hirsch Horizons. We gave that three sips. Lovely whiskey. Great whiskey for the price. So we're going to move on to our next one. We're going to have Harm tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. Jacob Rieger & Company was originally founded in 1887 in Kansas City's West Bottoms Livestock Exchange District. The distillery was produced over 100 alcoholic products on a national basis, including the iconic Monogram whiskey, but it was forced to close in 1919 with the advent of Prohibition. In 2014, 95 years after Prohibition, the brand was relaunched by business partners Ryan Mabey, creator of Manifesto and the co-founder of the Rieger and Andy the great-great-grandson of Jacob Rieger. The current distillery is located in the historic Electric Park District within the East Bottoms of Kansas City. The working distillery is located in a 60,000-square-foot facility that once housed pre-Prohibition Heim Brewing Bottling Facility. They opened the renovated building in 2019, and it includes a host of new hospitality experiences such as education and tours, multiple full-service cocktail bars and lounge spaces, a personalized whiskey bottling station, and 4,000-foot Kansas City historic and a 4,000-foot square foot Kansas City historical exhibit. There's even a custom-engineered 40-foot slide to ferry guests down from the second floor to the Monogram Lounge from the fourth floor.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I saw some pictures of it. It's like a whole, I mean, it's wow. It's a destination kind of thing. It's
I mean, speaking of which, they were also just named by USA Today as one of the top 10 new U.S. attractions. So if you have a reason to go to Kansas City, this is it. Let's try it, besides the barbecue. Hence the whole, oh, that's why you thought we were having barbecue.
That's exactly why. I thought because
no,
of their,
no, we were getting rid of bodies, dude.
Because they were top 10. They were top 10 in Kansas City. I was like, Kansas City, what's top 10?
As your attorney, Herm, I told you not to say that.
Yeah.
Plead the fifth, man.
There's a reason that human meat is called long pork. It smells just like barbecue, dude. So hungry.
Yeah, I wonder why he knows that.
Herm? You're a little slow.
You're making me a little nervous, buddy.
No, it's too late to plead the fifth.
We're going to Kansas City.
We'll see you in 15 to 30.
All right. Well, our first whiskey today, or our first product from Rieger's is the Rieger's Kansas City Whiskey, 92 proof, 46% ABV. It's a non-age statement whiskey. It retails about $35. This is a blend of straight bourbon whiskey, light corn whiskey, and straight rye whiskey. They're trying to do their own Kansas City style here. All aged at least 4 years. And to this blend, they add a trace amount of 15-year-old Oloroso Sherry, not exceeding 2.5% of the volume. This is a fairly common practice, was a fairly common practice in the American whiskey industry in pre-Prohibition era. As the first producer to revitalize this early practice, they have dubbed this the Kansas City style whiskey. Well, okay, very cool. It's a burnished copper color with a little red glint. And at I was expecting more sherry notes, but it's not overpowering. I think they did a good job with this. It's just a little balanced. I get a little candied fruit, but not too much. Baking spices are all there. Cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove. It's not as sweet as I expected, so I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
On the palate, let's chew that up. Caramel, creme brulee. Not unpleasant, not oversweet like I was expecting. So very well balanced. Mm-hmm. You got the sweet spices, you got the caramel, and there's a little red fruit coming in there, like berries. And the finish is pretty long and candied. I was pleasantly surprised because I was not expecting from the description something like this.
Again, but it's like Brent was saying, it doesn't overpower it.
No, they did a really good job.
It elevates the whiskey. When I saw this and I read up on it and it's not a barrel finish. It's actually
adding wine,
and I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking I don't know if that's going to work, and I'm thinking a 15-year-old Oloroso, man, just give it to me straight. It's just don't pour it in anything. Just pour it in a glass and I'll drink it.
Yeah, but I'm a big Oloroso fan.
But it's so well done. It does not overpower the whiskey. It doesn't make it cloying and sticky sweet. You definitely pick up the sherry note, but it's not an overpowering sherry note.
And what really comes out is nutmeg.
Yeah.
Nutmeg.
Yeah, it's nutmeg, really nutmeg, clove, baking spice. I mean, the caramel is like a nice underlayment underneath all of it.
If we could get this in Florida, this would definitely be in my bar at home.
Yeah. And it's lovely. Like, just great finish.
It's kind of got this old school, old Wild West style bottle to it.
I didn't even look at the bottle. Where's the bottle?
Here. It's kind of retro looking.
Yeah, very much old Wild West.
Kind of belly up to the saloon and ask for a whiskey.
It's kind of like that old Forester style, except a little more sleek.
Yeah. I mean, very lovely. Pretty. What do you think, Brent?
Okay, for me, this is what I would call a dessert sipper.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, you guys say that it's not overly sweet. It might not be overly sweet, but it's sweet.
I
was expecting like scrape your tongue way too much, but it's just right where it needs to be.
But it's not something that I want to have before dinner or during dinner.
Oh my God, on ice cream?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
this is what I'm going to have
in a milkshake
after I've ate the Kansas City steak or the Kansas City barbecue, and I want to sit back.
No, and this would go well with the Kansas City barbecue. Do this with the barbecue.
Right, as a finisher.
Oh, everything goes well with barbecue.
Not as the finisher. This would go well with the barbecue.
Vanilla ice cream, man.
Yeah. This on ice cream or, you know, like a vanilla milkshake. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is lovely.
Yeah.
What do you think, Maury?
Well, I agree with pretty much everything that's been said, especially Harmeet's comments. But I disagree with Brent. I don't find it overly sweet or desserty. I find it very pleasant, very nice.
It has enough spice to carry through. You mentioned Kansas City barbecue. This will go well with the barbecue.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. As a finisher.
No, with the
food. No, with. This is an all day sip.
With.
I think it's beautifully made. I was very pleasantly surprised.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
No, absolutely lovely. You know, I mean, I enjoyed this one.
I want to go visit them. That sounds like a playground for adults.
It's right, exactly. Yeah. I think we should make a
field trip.
I mean, like a road trip. Yep.
Well, actually, we kind of were invited the next time we're there to come and see them. So, you know.
Cool.
If any of us are, in the
days before the COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get on the COVID slide right now. So
I wear my mask. I'll go on the slide. I don't care.
The COVID slide.
I'm pretty sure as long as you're wearing pants, the COVID's not going to get
that's not happening. I said I'd wear a mask. I didn't say I'd wear pants.
I'm not allowed on that.
Wait, you're going to go on a slide without pants? I can just see things sticking to the slide, and that would be very, very uncomfortable and very painful.
We can fix that. Don't worry.
Maybe I'll wear pajama bottoms.
That's why.
Yeah, something flannel just to make it
Brazilian before.
Yeah, just something to make it a little sticky because you know if it's a little bit warm, you're not going more than about 8 inches.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that would it'd be like when we go down, it's like no, that would be horrible. So. All right, well, we're going to give the Rigger's Kansas City whiskey 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next spirit from Jay Rigger.
I'll be happy to tell you about that. So this is Rigger's Midwestern Dry Gin.
You're happy to talk about gin?
Yeah.
92.2.
Once in a while. Happy not to talk about tomorrow.
Brent's a professional. Yeah.
They paid me not to do the next one. That's all I can tell you. It's a 92.2 proof at 46.1% ABV for those that are mathematicians, and it retails for around $30. So the knowledge and skill to create a perfectly balanced gin is not something that's acquired overnight. So in 2015, the folks at Jay Rieger recruited Tom Nickel, the former master distiller of Tanqueray.
Period.
Yep. Yeah, Rieger's Midwestern Dry Gin made in traditional London dry style using the finest botanicals from around the world. The result is bold, full-flavored gin with layers of aroma and a complexity of flavor that makes it perfect for sipping on the rocks or ideal for classic cocktails. The base neutral spirit for this gin is distilled from wheat, and the botanicals consist of Jupiter, coriander, juniper.
Jupiter,
Mars, juniper, coriander, licorice root, orange peel. So the color of this is absence of brown,
and that's true.
Not brown at all.
Pretty much, yeah. There's pretty much brown. All gin. There's no brown in gin.
It looks like water.
Absence of brown. It's clear.
But even though it's not brown, I'd still drink it down.
Yeah,
you put it in your mouth.
When you put it to your nose, I mean, even before you get to your nose, that juniper just jumps out at you. It's just like...
especially when you first pour it. It's like a juniper balm.
It's like right, exactly that. And then the orange peel comes right up after it and stuff. You know, so... You still get it. I mean, it's just overpowering, you
it's
know?
Gin, on the palate, it's gin. Yeah. Gin smells like gin.
Right. Most on the palate, though, it's a very, very mellow... Very mellow, very, you know, you still get that, but it's not like the nose kind of overpowers the palate on this one. I would say that, you know, that you still have those flavors of the orange peel and the juniper, but it's a much more smoothed out, you know, and then you get a finish. I think this is going to be great for, you know, for a cocktail, for,
You know, honestly, gin's not a big straight sipper for me or most people, but this you could definitely sip.
I mean, or on the rocks. In a martini.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it would work well in a cocktail as well, straight. I think it's really balanced. I think
very,
it's beautiful.
Very well balanced. I think it's soft. Gin and tonic. I think it almost, a gin and tonic might actually overpower it. Like
I know. I had to look at the proof.
This would go well with tonic.
It's not hot. I had to look at the proof thing. And is this like a 70, 80 proof? It does not drink like a 92 proof.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't drink like 92 proofs after you've had 5 bourbons. If this was the first thing you tasted, I think it would be closer to 92 proof. I think it's well made, though. It is it's the mouthfeel that fools you. They've done something here.
It's got
here.
Some
I don't
viscosity
know.
To it.
Yeah, exactly. They've done something. I don't know if they're doing all of this is steeped or they've done some, what do you call, vapor distillation or vapor infusion of some of these spices.
Yeah, it's usually vapor.
Well, not usually. The higher-end gins are vapor, but the cheaper gins are usually all steeped. Mm. But this is definitely a higher-end gin. They're probably using some steeping and some vapor infusion.
I got to tell you, I as much as I love brown spirits, I love to keep some gin in the house for summer by the pool. A gin and tonic is nothing better. And this might find a place on my bar. I really like this. I thought it was
especially for the price.
Wonderful.
I'm not sure about I'm not up on all the. I know the gin pricing and stuff, but at $30, it doesn't seem like it's a bad deal.
That's a premium gin, but it's not bad at all for pricing.
Right. Yeah. It's certainly not like a high-end price ticket. I agree with you. Right. I think it's
beautiful. Bourbons can get out of the world on pricing and things,
Well, we've got some gins in the $100 range, too, but this is not.
You don't need to spend $100 on a gin.
You got
to
let this breathe.
We'll have a discussion about that later, but those are some exceptional products. This is fantastic for what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, on the nose, I did get that juniper that Brent thought was overpowering, but underneath there's more. There's lemon, there's flowers, there's orange peel. And they don't mention cardamom as an ingredient, but I get like a hint of cardamom.
Oh, they're definitely right at the tip of the nose.
It's cardamom, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, maybe that's the licorice and the angelica working together.
But I think part of the problem, Harm, is that most of the gins that we get to try are made by whiskey companies to generate revenue as just a fill in the blanks until the whiskey matures. And this is a gin that was crafted to be a gin. I just think
it's... Who's weak, Kemosabe? I taste a lot of other stuff.
No, we've done some gins on the show. We did those ones from from this. From Scotland, that were Love Gin, and there was two or three others. They were.
But
also,
we've done. Yeah. But a lot of times, these new startup craft distilleries, they're making gin just to pay the bills until the whiskey matures.
They don't do a
great job.
You can tell they're serious about their gin.
They are
absolutely.
I mean, getting somebody from Tanqueray.
They got Tom Nickel to do this. Come on.
No, they're serious.
They're dead serious.
Absolutely.
Great
superstar.
I wonder if they're doing infusion if they're doing it in.
That's literally what we were talking about when you walked that way to do your own thing. But I think they have to be doing a combination of pot infusion and steeping here.
Yeah,
this is really well made.
It's balanced. It's just so balanced.
Justin, would you like the gin?
I did like the gin, but not right out of the bottle. It needed to breathe for at least a half hour, and then all the flavors came together. So
I'm
don't judge until you open it for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, lovely. It's
such a great.
Again, I'm with Harm. It's the longer it sits, the more botanicals seem to be coming out.
Yeah.
So it's not just juniper, but there's citrus peel in there. There's some licorice. There's the angelica, and I definitely get the cardamom.
It's cardamom, but they don't mention that as an ingredient.
A green cardamom right on the tip of the nose. I mean, it's a lovely gin, and if you get a chance to go by Jay Rieger,
you wouldn't have to have any tonic, would you?
I wish. Yeah, pick one up. So we're going to be rating the Rieger's Midwestern Dry Gin. 4 sips.
Right.
That's classified.
Is stunning.
We're going to go to our last spirit of the day, and we're going to ask Maury to tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. So the last spirit of the day is the Rieger's Café Amaro, 62 proof for 31% ABV, retailing for about $30. Rieger's Café Amaro is their take on coffee liqueurs. Amaro is the Italian word for bitter. It is a category of liqueur characterized by its bitter, herbal, and slightly sweet flavor, which stems from the use of botanical herbs and cane syrup. Rieger's Café Amaro is a collaborative spirit with the Kansas City-based coffee roasters Thau Mayest, who selects a single-origin coffee roast that they utilize to contribute to the flavors of the botanicals generate. It spends a brief amount of time in a whiskey barrel, resulting in a rich, bittersweet flavor that works great in cocktails and can be enjoyed by itself after a meal. It's got a beautiful deep dark color, almost looks like a beautiful mahogany colored whiskey. It's got a wonderful coffee aroma on the nose. It's got all the elements of an Amaro. It's balanced. It's got bitterness. It's got notes of coffee. It's definitely got a little hint of sweetness. I think as a product that's really kind of out there for a whiskey distiller, it's fantastic. I really enjoyed
it. Guys, anybody else?
Well, we ran out of time, dude.
It's got soy on the nose. Interesting.
Well, we're going to give it 3 sips.
Yeah, we went too long on this one. I'm sorry, I waxed poetic on that gin. But the Amaro is well done.
Yeah. Well, good Amaro. So
try it. It's great for cocktails.
Good stuff. Good show. So
it's on the sweeter style. We had a lot of stuff to cover today. Well, Thank you, Bob.
That's all the time we have today. So we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor. Tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry. Play podcast, Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on these social media platforms. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
That's a pleasure. I know it's 3 in the morning, but I'm heading out for barbecue.
Yeah.
It's the smell.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. I agree with Brent. I was a tease thinking that smokestack meant fresh barbecue. Let's go, Brent.
We're going to get Juliet to provide some for us next time.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Always great to be in the basement.
And Harm?
Glad to be here, Bob.
I'm a clown, and I don't like you.
Thank you for having me. Darn, that's not your wife's shoe. Let me go.
No. Good Lord, whatever. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and reminding you, thank you for joining us, and reminding you that life is too short to drink bad whiskey.
What should we drink then?
You should drink more Amaro. It's good for you.
One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.